You're listening to Beyond the Pulpit with Pastor Brent Snook from First Baptist Church of Glen Estee in Cincinnati, Ohio. In today's episode, Pastor and his daughter Tiffany talk about loving and serving one another. It's not always easy to humbly serve one another, but as we strive to follow Jesus, his heart to love and serve will become more and more our heartbeat as well. So let's dive into today's conversation.
Well, we want to welcome you back to Beyond the Pulpit podcast. I'm Tiffany, and I'm here with my dad, Brent Snook. And Dad, you have been continuing on in your series of the One Another's, and we've had a couple sermons on your other podcast, The First Pulpit. So if anybody wants to go and listen to those, they can hear your sermon. But we want to hear just a little bit more from you on some of those topics. So this will be probably our last podcast on the One Another's, but I wanted to ask you some questions about love one another and really focus on serving one another.
Okay, so sounds good. We'll talk about it together.
Okay, all right. So to start us out, your last sermon was on loving one another. And so what would you say are ways that people can show love to people on a daily basis?
Well, I think that on a practical basis, probably one of the things that I think of most are just words of kindness. Mm-hmm. I think of the book of James, where James talks so much about our tongue and how that he comes to the conclusion, and he says with the same tongue, we can either our tongue can be a curse or it can be a real blessing. And so I think that the average person truly needs words of affirmation and words of kindness. And as we talked, I think the last time we focused a little bit on just encouragement. Mm-hmm. And everybody needs encouragement. So I think that one way is words of kindness. Jesus talks a lot about giving a cup of cold water in his name. And when we think about it, there's a lot of ways that we can give cups of cold water. Serving one another is one way. I think of just last spring, I believe it was, a guy in the church called me up and he said, I have a day off and I just want to know what I can do to serve you. Mm-hmm. And he said, I just wanted to come over to your home and do something for you. And I was not even there. And he came out and he cleared out, it had been bugging me for quite some time, but I wasn't able to get to it. And I had all kinds of just tree limbs that were hanging over the fence and things like that. But mm-hmm. It was an example of me, to me, of somebody who was just willing to come and serve. Mm-hmm. I think that one way that we can show love, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about giving one another a holy kiss. For us in our society, it would just be a hug. Mm-hmm. I had a young guy just came over to me and he hugged me and said nothing. I know what that means, mm-hmm. and I'm appreciative of it. Another way that we can serve one another is to give our time. For me, it's easier for me to give somebody money than it is to give my time. Others may not be able to give money, but they can give their time. I look at time as a real sacrifice. And so there are a lot of different ways that we can really show love to one another. Mm-hmm. There are five different guys in our church that go to a man in our church who has been basically bedridden for years because of a severe muscular disease. Five guys for 15 years alternate at least once a month to go and sit with him, read scripture to him, pray with him. Mm-hmm. And that is an amazing example of just going and loving and serving other people. Mm-hmm. That man, whenever I have gone away myself from just sitting with him, I'm the one who is greatly encouraged. So there are a lot of ways to just in a practical way love one another, and if we love one another, we will serve one another.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a way out of those? This is random, but which way do you like to show people love the most? How do you personally? They're supposed to get to know you, Dad. So I'm trying to bring out the question so they know, oh, okay, he's showing me love right now.
Well, now I'm trying to think of, ways that I have practiced what I preach. So I will, for me, probably being generous. Mm-hmm. If I see people that have needs financially, and I will try and just either anonymously or I don't feel like I'm doing wrong if I just give it to them and they know who's given me money or who's given them money. Mm-hmm. So I am one who probably reaches out with more of generosity. I also will text people and just tell them that I'm praying for them. And I hope that means something to them. Mm-hmm. And the reason I do that is because when I've gone through my own trials, when people have consistently, not just once, a one and done, but when people have consistently told me, hey, just want you to know I've prayed for you again today, mm-hmm. that means so much to me. And so I will try to also text people and tell them that I have truly prayed for them as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So probably those two areas yeah. with generosity and praying.
Well, one of our listeners asked me that knew we were going to be talking on this topic, asked me to ask you, how would you say for them to show love to people who have hurt them or are unlovable? Some people are just hard. They're hard to love.
You're looking at me, Tiffany.
No, that's because you're across from me. Okay. You're not hard to love, Dad.
Okay. Good.
But what would your advice be to that person or anybody who thinks, oh, that person is just,
right.
it's a struggle?
And I'm going to say that if people have a heart to love, mm-hmm. Everybody that has a heart to love is going to have somebody that is difficult because they'll notice it because they want to help them and do good to them. Mm-hmm. So I would say, number one, pray for them, because when you pray for somebody that is hard to love, it keeps you connected to them. It keeps you connected through the Lord Jesus. So pray for them, strive to do good to them, and bless them. And the reason I say that is because Jesus said in Luke 6, he said, love your enemies. And then he said, do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And I would, when you ask that question, my mind goes to the sermon that I preached just last week, the week before Easter. And there's really four principles. So I'll remind the people that heard the message mm-hmm. and then share it with those who did not. What do you do when people are hard to love? Number one, battle it. Don't let the hurt fester in you. Don't let that hurt fester. So battle it. Number two, bring it. By that, I mean, bring your hurt to Jesus. Number three, balance it. Be wise in what that looks like. And it does take wisdom. Because it's easy to say, well, you just love them. Well, you just pray for them. You got to balance that out because some people will drain you. Mm-hmm. And then number four, bury it. You got to let that hurt go. And so battle it, bring it, balance it, and then bury it and let that go. And so you just strive to, if you take those four things and strive to love them, God will give you the right spirit in it all.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, moving on to the next one, I kind of wanted to focus a lot on serving one another. When we hear serving one another, it can seem like, oh, that's a lot. And not everybody, that's, a gift to serve people. So how would you describe what God meant when he said to serve one another? What did he mean by that?
Well, first of all, I think in our society, we do live in a different day. We live in a day of go, everybody's running, mm-hmm. everybody's running, unless they have gotten to a place where they're retired. But even retired people, they are usually very, very busy people. And when they retire from their job, they usually pick something else up. So we live in a different day. And if we're not careful, we just won't love, we won't serve. And so we do need to really, as a child of God, understand that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. And so if we're the hands and feet of Jesus, I think of what is Jesus' example? No, I would put it in about kind of four different principles. As I look at the life of Christ, number one, he first of all spent time with his Father. He was consistently going off by himself to spend time in fellowship. Mm-hmm. That is our resource. If we're not spending time with the Father, we'll forget what it is to serve one another. We'll forget what it is to love one another. We won't be concerned about forgiving one another. We won't be concerned about the one another's of the Word of God. But as we spend time with the Lord, it keeps us anchored into what is right. So Jesus spent time with the Father. Number two, he was willing to be interrupted. When he went from place to place, when you read the Gospels, just maybe find your journal and write down as you read through just one gospel, just write down one every day in a chapter how he was interrupted. He was interrupted consistently. And so we need to go back to see some of those interruptions as divine appointments. The third thing I see that Jesus did, he was willing to get his hands dirty. He washed his disciples' feet, and the reason he washed them, and it was right before he was arrested, it was right before he was going to the cross. What was the lesson he wanted to teach? Disciples, you've got to serve one another. And to serve one another, you got to get your hands dirty. Think about what could be more, for the average person, what could be more gross than to clean and wash somebody else's feet? So Jesus showed that example. And then number four, he cared for the least of these. We want to care for our brothers and sisters. We want to care for the people that are like us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's easy, but may we be challenged to care for the least of these. I found something just very interesting, and I won't name her name. If I named her name, everybody would know who she is, because she's one of the most popular praise and worship singers of today.
Okay.
And here's what was interesting. She said, "My favorite place to minister, to sing, to serve, my number one favorite place," she said, "is not where people would think it would be." She said, "My favorite place to sing is in the prisons."
Huh.
Hey, she's not getting money for that.
Yeah.
And she's not getting, she might get some words of affirmation, but nobody's going to be able to repay her. And I thought that was so wonderful, because she's going and, she's extremely popular and well-known. And yet that was her favorite place to minister in the prisons. And that really challenged me.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have like a person in the Bible that's like your favorite? You just talked about Jesus and how he served, but is there anybody else like in the Bible that you would say they were a really good example of serving?
Probably all of us could come up with someone, but my go-to in the area of serving was the Good Samaritan in, the book of Luke, because the Good Samaritan, he first of all saw the need.
Mm-hmm.
We all see needs. We all see them, but we're too busy to look at them, to really see them in the way we should. And the Good Samaritan, first of all, he saw. Then number two, he went. The other three guys didn't. They kept on moving.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to be interrupted. And there were three things that happened with the Good Samaritan. Number one, he had contact with the individual that had such a great need, who was beaten up and left over on the side of the road. Somebody said, no contact or no impact without contact.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great statement.
Yeah.
No impact without contact. So the first thing he did, he had contact. Number two, he had compassion. And I don't know about everybody that's listening, but I know one thing. If I don't have contact with people, I don't have compassion. And the first thing, maybe I don't have, let's say that we don't have compassion for an individual who has a need. Mm-hmm. Okay, go have contact with them. And then you might develop a compassion for them. So the first thing, contact. Number two, compassion. And number three, he cared. It costs us something to care. What did it cost him? Time, energy, and even money. Mm-hmm. And so we're it's easy for us to say, yeah, I'll serve somebody if it doesn't cost me any time, if I don't have to put out any energy, and certainly don't touch my bank account.
Yeah.
And all of those things are the things that we see in the Good Samaritan that he actually showed.
Yeah, that's a good example. And how about, do you have an example of anybody in your life that has, you're like, they have really shown me, like, they served me and it really made an impact and encouraged you? Would there be like a certain way somebody has served you, or not that you're going to name them, but I just think sometimes it's good to hear a personal testimony, because then you're like, oh, I could do, because I basically what you just said about the Good Samaritan, I can think of a lady here in our community. She doesn't go to our church, but I saw online and she saw somebody in need and they were selling stuff on the side of the road. And she put it out there and said, everybody,
that's good,
go try to help. And I'm like, even just the fact that she stopped, and sometimes it's easy to assume and think, well, what are they actually using the money for? Sometimes we're too quick to, I don't know, jump to the negative, and we don't listen, like you said, hear the need. So has anybody encouraged you or served you?
Because of what I've gone through in the last 2 years and the passing away of my wife, Joy, my mind immediately goes to that. And when you said this lady did this and put it online, all right, I had two young girls who went out and sold lemonade for a GoFundMe. And it just, I mean, good night. I'll never forget those two young girls. And they're growing up now, and now they're teenagers. But guess what? When I see them, what do I think of? And they went and sold lemonade, and then somebody put it online, and it was to help with Joy's cancer treatments. Yeah. And those two young girls will always have my heart because of that. And then I think around Joy's sickness, a lady in our church who's a nurse came every day to serve my wife and to love her and care for her. And every time I see her, I do think of that and how she loved my wife. Because when you love your loved one, you love me. Mm-hmm. I think of the another family that is extremely well known across the nation, who called me and did not know. They knew how bad Joy was, and they called me. They just got off the road that night. Said, "Brent, is there anything we can do to help you and Joy?" And I, in a kidding way, said, "Well, if you would want to come and sing to her," they ended up singing. Got all the family together. They'd not even been home an hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, one like headed to a baseball game and left there or something?
They were headed. Yeah. They were all over town, and they came and they sang in Joy's bedroom, and that was one of the family. That was one of Joy's favorite musical groups. Mm-hmm. I think of the preacher, the man who preached at Joy's funeral. He was in Cancun, and he was ready to leave and come to speak and leave Cancun and leave a conference to come and serve me. Mm-hmm. I think of the pastors who cared enough about me to come and preach when I was caring for Joy for 10 weeks, I think, and did it on their own expenses. I think of a man in our church who told me, he prayed and prayed and prayed before Joy passed, and he prayed and prayed for me after Joy passed. So, yeah, I think of a lot of people who have served me, and I'm grateful, so very grateful. And the list goes on and on and on of people who have served me.
Do you think the more you think about that and how people have encouraged you in that way, it makes you want to think of ways to serve other people?
Yes, it surely does.
Yeah.
It most definitely does, because, you know, let's not ever forget the fact that what we sow, we will reap.
Yeah.
And if people hearing this podcast want to reap in their time of need, we've got to understand, we got to sow some seed before our time of need comes.
Mm-hmm. How about sometimes people, so changing it to not so serious, maybe thinking of people in their serious times of need, but just in normal day life, people receive love or want to be served in different ways than each other. Like, you receive it differently than me. Some people are more needy and they're like, hey, you didn't spend enough time with me. Or, you know, some friends, they jump in with 2 feet and they want, like, in your life. And others are more like, yeah, you're in my life, like, but I don't, they don't need that as much. Does that make sense?
Sure,
what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, they're more homebodies.
Right.
And so if they hang out with you or serve you or love you in this way, that's all they think you need, because that's all they need.
Right.
How do you figure that out and show love to people that receive it differently?
Well, we have to understand that we are all so different. We are so different. Take the disciples. They were so different. So are we. Right. All of us are different. And so that's kind of the point you're making.
Right.
Let me use myself as an example. And any pastor and every pastor knows this. You can have a church of hundreds, or you can have a church of thousands, and have several people that will want to dominate your time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you do? You've got to look at the whole picture, and you cannot let three people in a church dominate your time, because if you do, then you're going to neglect hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people.
Right.
And so we have to be wise in life. You know, the important thing is that we are balanced, so that it just takes a lot of wisdom. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that God put in the Bible one whole book of 31 chapters called the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of wisdom to walk and navigate through life. And so Jesus didn't let one person dominate his time.
Mm.
Again, read the Gospels.
Right.
He did not let one person dominate his time. On the other hand, Jesus said to his disciples, because, you know, again, let's go back to the washing of the feet. Peter said, you can't wash my feet. You're Jesus. You're God. Mm-hmm. I'm Peter. You can't wash my feet. And yet Jesus said, wait a minute. You're telling me I can't serve you? And he said, if I wash not your feet, you have no part with me. Mm-hmm. Some people, they don't want you to serve them at all. And they need to understand, hey, you know, you need to be served.
Mm-hmm.
This is a family affair. And when people go to that extreme, no, I'm the one who serves. I can't receive. No, I've got to only give. Step back. No, you know, Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he did not let one person dominate his time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's a great answer to that. And I don't think I thought of it from the side of sometimes people serve so much that they're like, I don't want you to do that for me.
Right.
I want to do it for you instead.
Right.
So
right.
That's a good perspective.
You know, this is a silly example, but sometimes I'll go out with people that, you know, to a nice restaurant or to a restaurant that could, I mean, they've got more money than I'll ever dream of. And everybody probably expects that they should be the one to always be the giving one and the paying one. And no, absolutely not. they need to receive as well.
Right.
And sometimes I will pay for whatever because I know that they probably don't get to receive very often. And so it's just good for us to give.
Yeah, that's good. Well, as we close up this, I want to ask you one more question about what about people who feel burnt out in life? Like they just feel exhausted. You talked earlier about how busy we are. How do you still serve with a happy and willing spirit when you're, maybe you're like that person who you just said, who serves and serves and serves, and in a way, maybe they put up the guard of like, no, I don't need it because they haven't received it really. And so they're guarding their heart from like being hurt by other people who, you know, I was just with somebody just right before this with Tim and we were talking to somebody and they were saying, I'm always the one to reach out and say, hey, how are you? And I've lost some friends because I quit reaching out because they never asked me how I was, you know? And I'm like, that could really happen with anybody in life.
Right.
And what would you say to somebody who's feeling that burnt out?
Well, I think that it's important for us to understand a little bit that anyone can get burned out. Anyone. And we have to understand the importance that it is to replenish. That is why revival meetings are good. That is why everyone needs to be replenished on a weekly basis in church. If they are always serving, it's good for them to have a week off. If they are, you know, I know from my own life as a pastor, and every pastor understands this, is that we're serving every single solitary Sunday. And it's important for us to take some weeks off and maybe go to another church to be replenished. You've got to have gas in your tank if you're going to Uber someone else. You can't Uber anybody and get anybody from one place to another if you don't have gas in your own tank. And so we've got to replenish and then also receive. I think of the verse in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. It says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. So we've got to replenish. When we get to that point of burnout, or we feel like, am I running out of gas? If we're there, don't wait until you've on the side of the road when you see your tank is getting near empty. Go replenish, and then also, you know, just make sure that we're giving in order to receive as well.
Well, and sometimes that can even just be, you know, willing to reach out to somebody and say, hey, can we go get dinner? Can we, you know, and share, open up, even if they don't ask you, open up and talk to them.
It's important to, you know, sometimes some people are the ones who never, they're not going to drain you because they're too intimidated, or they feel like they're putting you out and they don't want to do that. They're very kind people. And sometimes it takes us stepping out of our comfort zone to ask someone to have lunch, to ask someone for a half hour after a service or before a service, just to get some wisdom and get a different set of eyes on things.
Well, this has been really good, Dad. Thanks for talking. And we, right before I came in here, one of Mom's signs, it said above in her old office, it said that love as I have loved you, a verse. And I was thinking how appropriate for this. You know, Christ loved us. We're coming off of Easter and all that he did for us. And, you know, just the gift that we have of the body of Christ. That's and people to love, people to serve, and to feel that back.
And that's what life, as you just said, that's what life is all about. Let's not, you know, we focused this past week, it was all on how the amazing story of God's love for us, Good Friday, you know, he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then we come through the resurrection, and what a glorious day it is. So we've just come off of the greatest example of love. Let's not leave Easter. Easter isn't a weekend. Easter is a life of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So may God help us to love and serve others like Jesus loves and serves us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great way to end, Dad. So thanks again for listening, and hopefully this was a blessing to you. If so, we'd love for you to share it with somebody, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Pulpit. This podcast is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Glen Estee in Cincinnati, Ohio. We'd love to connect with you. You can find us online or find us on Facebook or Instagram at FBC Glen Estee. God bless you. Have a great day.